In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This is perhaps the most difficult passage from the Bible that we have prayed. If you didn't feel it that way, then you're not thinking deeply about yourself. Think about anyone right now, I ask you, with whom you have a problem. Anyone. Now, a lot of times when we have problems, because of the distance of these problems, we find it easy to forgive. But what about if you have a continuous interaction with somebody and you have a problem with that individual? You have a problem with that individual. What do you do then? Well, what's the prescriptive measure? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Do you know how hard that is? I asked Pope Shenouda one time, we were sitting in a garden together, and I said, what do you think? I was just trying to make a little joke and have some mild conversation with him. And I said, what do you think Uriah said when he saw David coming into the kingdom of heaven? Uriah, of course, was the husband of Bathsheba, the one that David killed so that he could take Bathsheba to wife. What would this husband of Bathsheba say to David? How's Bathsheba? He said, I've got one better. What do you think St. Paul said to St. Stephen? Because, of course, Paul held the clothes of those who were going to wind up and throw the rocks really hard to stone St. Stephen to death. And then he said, the first thing that you lose on your way to heaven is your ego. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, ego is the Latin word for I, me, you, ego. It's not just some Freudian term, and you may have heard it in that context, the id, the ego, and the superego. No, ego means me, you. You're the one who's being hurt. Can you forgive in the midst of your being hurt? Think about your own family. You have a fight with your husband or your wife, and there they are. They didn't leave. The person who's bothering you is right in the house with you. Maybe sleeping in the same bed, if he's or she is not on the couch. But yeah, how hard is that? Now remember some weeks ago when I was talking to you and I said, who wants to be like Christ? Many people want to be about the teaching Christ because many people are apt to teach. Many people want to be the healing Christ, to be able to solve the physical problems of people. People want to be the Christ that blesses because it's nice to be Santa Claus. People want to be the Christ that is so merciful and compassionate to lift the burdens because of the commonality of humanity and the feeling of commiseration and empathy. But I said to you, remember, who wants to be the crucified Christ? Well, this is the crucified Christ. This is the crucified Christ. The one who loves his enemies. The one who blessed those who cursed him. The one who prayed for those who spitefully used him. The one who, when stricken on one cheek, turned his head so that he may be struck on the other cheek. The one who has nothing personal. The one who gives to people without hoping to receive. The one who loves without being loved. Do you have any idea what it is like to do such things? I've been in church for almost 40 years. I've been a priest for almost 30. And I can tell you that in my life, regarding these passages, I have been capable of doing some of this, but never all of this. Never. I have good days. But those good days don't count. It's when the challenge comes. It's when the trial comes. It's when somebody is red in the face, shaking their finger in your face, and blaming you for things that you may or may not have even had a hand in. And what do you do then? The natural inclination is for my ego is to get up and fight. And most of the time, I lay this off to the way in which I was raised. I remember there was a little girl, her name was Linda Pastrano, and we moved into this area. We were poor and we moved from place to place. I went to a different school every single year up until fourth grade. We moved a lot. And in this new neighborhood, as soon as the new kid moves into the block, all of the other kids in that area test him. And when I would come running back to my mom in tears because somebody had wronged me and I didn't know what to do, good old mom gave me the advice, go back out there and do the same to them. Back to Linda Pastrano, she used to kick boys in the shins. And she had these really hard shoes. And boys, mostly in those days, wore their tennis shoes. But I had what we called in those days my good shoes. My good shoes were wingtips, and they had a really stiff, thick sole. And I went out back to the home after having been humiliated by this little skinny girl. Put those Sunday school shoes on and went back looking for her. And I found her. And when I kicked her the first time, her entire face changed. Pain went over her like she had never felt in her life. She went from brown to white in that exact moment. Later on, when I was on the track team, I had to beat somebody to be on the team. In school, I had to beat people in order to get into certain classes. I had to, we call it, he excels. He excels in academics. What does that mean? He beats the other kids. You have to beat them. You have to be better than them. My grandson Joshua just took his first SAT test. He's 9 years old. He's 9 years old. And on one of his scores, he scored the same range as somebody who's a sophomore in high school. He's in third grade. They're in 10th grade. Now, why am I telling you this? Because if too much is made of that in his life, he is going to start to think in a certain way. I'm getting praise because of something, and he won't put it this way, and he won't understand it this way, but this is the fact. I am succeeding because of a gift God gave me. He doesn't realize that. He just thinks, it's me. I'm either the one who's being praised or I am the one who is being criticized. And every time I say I mean ego. It's that little boss inside you that hates humiliation, that hates embarrassment, that hates correction. And so because of that, because of training in this way, when you finally become old enough to understand the passages that we have just prayed, you think, how am I going to do this? Think back when you people that are older, think back when you were in elementary school or junior high or high school. There was somebody you hated, and there was somebody who hated you. But I say to you who hear, remember when Jesus says, I say to you who hear. We all have ears. We all hear. But what he means is, when you hear, put into practice. Can you hear this message? I hear it very clearly, and it shames me. It embarrasses me. The only reason I just don't burn up and die because of these feelings is because I have an exit strategy. Now, maybe this is just a device, again, of the ego to explain away why I am not all of these things now. Because I tell you, if somebody comes up and asks me for money, I mean, it's happened this way. Abuna Brahim at St. George used to always send any white bum that came to the church to me to get money. Right? And I always wondered why that was, you know. Because the opportunity to be like God should not escape anybody, because it, in fact, is a gift. To be able to have the opportunity to appear and to act as God-like, it's a gift. Why do you refuse this gift? Because it's coming from me. Now, sometimes, I drove one time with my kids to downtown Los Angeles, where if you go to Chinatown or you go through downtown Los Angeles, you will see so many tents that line the streets. And they will take these 40-gallon drums that used to contain liquid. The top has been removed, and they will put anything that they can that will burn inside the thing and light a fire, and they will get warmth from that. I took my children to such a place, to what's called generically a flop house. That's where you get a room, such as it is, and a bed for one night, to give somebody some money who wasn't even there. But he instructed me, being the clever guy that he was, if I'm not there, put it in my box number, which is 498. So I went and I drove to downtown Los Angeles with my kids in tow, locked the car up, left them inside the car, went inside the flop house, gave the money, came back. I didn't want to do it. Because I didn't want to do it, I lose the blessing from God. I did it, I didn't refuse it, but I didn't want to do it. Have you ever been made in your lifetime, I mean, I'm saying these things rhetorically, I know you have, to apologize to somebody that you didn't ever feel like apologizing to? I remember there was this one old blowhard in the church. This guy was just a bag of gas, and all he did was bloviate. That's a great word, B-L-O-V-I-A-T-E, bloviate. And I had to make a matanya in front of him. There was another guy that was so full of himself that he claimed that when I was going, now remember, this is a church with a lot of people in it, that I didn't on purpose throw the water on him at the end. You know, God forbid it would land on his clothes where he wouldn't feel it. It had to hit him in the face. If the water didn't come there, and I had to apologize to him. I had to. Now, what am I saying to you? Although I did the right thing, I didn't do it with the right internal feeling. I lost all the blessing. So now, I am a very mature individual. I'm 71. I don't do that, which I do not have full compatibility with. In other words, if somebody tells me to do something, if I do not feel in my interior that doing it is the right thing, I'll not do it. I won't do it just because you are in imitation of Christ, because I'll lose the blessing. This man needs money. Give him money. Okay, here, take. It's not right. It's not right. It dehumanizes him and it makes me poorer. I'm made more poor because I gave him my money. He's made more poor because of my attitude towards him. I sinned against him. I didn't give him a gift. In giving him the money, I showed him my complete disrespect and my lack of care for his situation. I tell you these things because who wants to be like the crucified Christ? I have not met that person yet. There are people, there are people who want to be in every other condition that we find our Lord. But to crucify the ego literally means to ascend to the cross, to stretch your arms wide out, to accept all of the insults and all of the hurt, and then to love in return rather than rebuke. Our Lord is unimaginably loving and merciful and kind. And it is said, it is a command for us to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. This command, however, we do know was internalized by the apostles. And this is the apostolic fast, and this is the last that we are going to hear about them until we arrive at the apex of their commission. This is the apotheosis. They all died, save John the Beloved, in a horrid way. They all died in patience. They all died serving God, who wants to be like them. Who wants to be like them? I ask myself that all of the time. What did I as a priest accept? And it's the hardest thing ever. And again, I want to tell you with emphasis, when I read this, I am embarrassed about myself. I have self-loathing, and I say that I am a discredit to God because of my failure to do these things, having the proper heart that precedes the action. And so I ask you to pray for me. I've told you this many times. Whenever I am speaking to you, I am speaking to myself first. Not you. I'm not looking down at you. And I've said this to you also. A good people can make a bad priest good. So pray for me that I may internalize all of these things so that I may be someone who the Lord finds worthy. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.